All right, good evening. Good to see you tonight for our midweek service. We're in 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4, the first six verses, and so we're going to kind of wind those up tonight and talk about truth and error. Truth and error. Obviously, we could talk about this for ages, but we're going to go ahead and finish up. We talked about last week that first group, and that was the false prophets. There's so much false teaching and false doctrine and false preachers out there that we need to be aware of them. We talked about that extensively for the last two Wednesdays and talked about how to recognize the error and recognize when somebody is preaching error or false doctrine so that we can recognize who they are and stay away from their teaching and mark them as a false teacher or a false prophet. Very, very important. Not just for the pastor as he watches over his flock, but we also as fathers and mothers, as we watch over our children, Sunday school teachers, as we watch over our class, workers, as we watch over our children's church. So we just need to make sure that we can recognize truth and error. And when we recognize that error, to mark it and be aware of it. So we talked about false prophets. I want to talk about the next two groups, and we'll finish up this evening. And that is faithful preachers and fearless people. Faithful preachers and fearless people. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God's little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight thanking you for the opportunity to look into your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be able to recognize truth from error and error from truth, and that you might help us to be who you've called us to be and who you need us to be according to the truth, according to your word. We love you tonight. We do thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, so we talked about false prophets. Now I want to talk about faithful preachers. Faithful preachers. Verse number 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We need to know as people, as congregants, as Christians, we need to know if who we are listening to is considered a faithful preacher. We need to know if who we are listening to is a faithful preacher. And there's one great, big, enormous test. What is that test? The test is the Word of God. That is the test, the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth, John 17:17 says. Thy Word is truth. And so you got error, and there's all sorts of error out there in the world, and even error in churches today. But there is one truth, and the truth is the Word of God. And so we have the truth. It is our litmus test. When it comes to error, when it comes to preachers that are preaching. Now, there's a difference between somebody that is a faithful preacher and somebody that you don't care for his style of preaching. Just because you don't care for his style of preaching doesn't make him an unfaithful preacher. Okay? So there's lots of different styles of preaching out there. And, I mean, there's people that, you know, preach, you know, topically. There are preachers that preach, narratively. There are preachers that preach expositionally. And so you've got different kinds of preachers that are preaching out there. My daughter, Anna, for extra credit, had to listen to a preacher preach the message out of the book of Hosea. Well, his whole message, which was very different, and he didn't preach error, but it was very different because he preached as if he was Hosea, the entire message. So it was very different. That doesn't make him unfaithful, just because it's different than what you're used to. So recognize that first. There's a difference between unfaithfulness and style. Okay, so some preachers may be your favorite because you like the style of their preacher preaching, but because somebody else doesn't preach quite like that doesn't make them unfaithful. So we got to understand, certainly understand that. Verse 2 of chapter 4, the scripture says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." We have our litmus test that we can go by to find out if who is preaching or who is teaching is faithful. And really the question is he faithful to the Word of God? He uses the word here in verse number 2, confesseth. That word confess means to say the same things or to agree with. Those that are faithful, those that God counts faithful, faithful preachers and faithful teachers, will line up with this book, will line up with the Word of God. So what they're saying is, thus saith the Lord. Okay? So sometimes we give our opinion, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with giving an opinion. Maybe there's a passage of Scripture, and the Scripture is a little gray in that area, and you kind of, you know, you give your opinion about that passage, which is fine. As long as you indicate that's your opinion, you should never pass off your opinion for truth. Okay? Because we all have opinions. And, you know, those opinions don't always agree. But what is our litmus test? What do we go to? We go to the Word of God. So if your opinion is contrary to the Word of God, it no longer is, it may be your opinion, but it's now error. Okay, so if it's contrary to the Word of God, if your opinion is that Jesus Christ never came in the flesh, well, then you're in error because the Bible says he did. If your opinion is that there is no resurrection, well, then your opinion is in error. Okay, so opinions can be wrong, but they're not wrong because they differ with my opinion. They're wrong because they differ with the Word of God. You see, this is our test. This is where we go to when we need the truth, when we need to substantiate something that we are saying. You know, when you talk to people today and you give them a bit of information and they kind of look at you like, well, I don't know if that's right. What do you do? Well, most of us take our phone and we Google it, right? We look up it on Google. We look up on Google and says, look, this is blah, blah. You know, Everest is 29,035 feet. 29,035 feet, thereabouts. High. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, what do? You Google it, look it up. There it is. It is that. What, you can't argue with truth. And you can, but it's senseless and useless. And so when someone has a question on the Word of God, what do? We look it up. We look it up in the truth. We look it up in the facts. This is God's Word. God's Word always trumps man's Word. Always. So I don't care how famous the preacher is. I don't care how well known he is. I don't care how smart he is. I don't care how spiritual he is. If what he is saying is contrary to the Word of God, then let God be true, every man a liar. That's a biblical principle that every Christian must practice. We must, as a preacher preaches, as a teacher teaches, we must search the Scriptures to see if what they are saying is so. Is it truth? If it's not truth, then they are in error. Okay? So again, not opinion, but the truth of the Word of God. Those that are faithful will line up with the Word of God. Upon their lips is thus saith the Lord. What is the most important thing that we're saying? The most important thing that we're saying is what God has said. That's the most important thing we're saying. And we can give illustrations, and we can give stories, and we can kind of ad lib and add some things here and there. But really, what changes lives? What changes lives is the Word of God. What changes lives is the truth. And so we've got to have the truth. And when we have that truth, that is our test. That is what we, that is what we go to. No new revelations or raising questions concerning the Word of God. So many people, so many teachers, so many preachers get up and they want to change this book. Well, that doesn't really mean what it's saying. Well, you know, that really shouldn't even be in the Word of God. Be careful. Be careful of who you're listening to. Because we have the completed revelation of God. Genesis to Revelation is the 66 books that are in the canon of the Word of God. They are faithful. They are true. They are inspired. They are inerrant. They are preserved so that we might have the Word of God. So that we might be able to read the words of God. And so we don't spout off things that are not known or some new revelation that comes out. So many times new things come out and people will make comments like, wow, I never knew that was in the Word of God. Well, often it isn't. Often it's just some book that some man wrote, and man's word never trumps God's word. So if it's not in God's word, then at best, it's your opinion. So we've got to have truth. And we speak from our lips, thus saith the Lord. That is a faithful preacher. That is a faithful teacher. If he's not faithful to the book, if he's not faithful to the Word of God, you ought not be faithful to him. You ought not be faithful to him. If this preacher, if Joe Springer gets away from the Word of God, then there's no reason for you to be faithful to Joe Springer. Listen, I have no business being in a pulpit if I'm not preaching the Word of God. I'm telling you, there are so many teachers and preachers out there who you can listen to an entire sermon and you get no verses. You get no Word of God. Now, you get a great story out of the Reader's Digest. You get some great practical illustrations, but where is the Word of God? Lives are changed because of the Word of God. We can agree to disagree. Have you ever done that? Well, sure you have. We can agree to disagree on many issues, on many subjects. We can agree to disagree. But the Word of God isn't one of them. Can't agree to disagree on doctrine. Listen, this is thus saith the Lord. It's either right or wrong. Jesus can't be God and not God. Okay, so either it's the deity of Jesus Christ or it's not the deity of Jesus Christ. And so you can't have both. And so we've got to understand when it comes to the Word of God, this is truth. Everything else that's contrary to this book is an error. And so that's not an arrogant statement. It's just a true statement. And so we've got to go by this book. All scripture. The scripture says this in 2 Timothy 3. All scripture. Not all opinion. Not all ideas. Not all our thoughts. Not even all our theology. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture. So all the Word of God is inspired by God. And so we can, with confidence, as teachers and preachers, whether you're doing that from a pulpit, a lectern, or in the privacy of your own home, when we teach and preach the Word of God, if we're going to be faithful preachers and teachers, and we're going to remain faithful, then it's going to be because we base our truth, base everything that we do on the Word of God. Okay? So, faith, what does the scripture say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, group one, false prophets. Group two, faithful preachers. Group three, fearless people. fearless people. Verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can hear that. That's the fax machine behind me. I didn't turn that off, so we'll have to apologize for that. But faithful preachers, fearless people, how are we to cope with the fact that we're living in a world of truth and error? How do we deal with that? How do we face that in our lives? How do we stand up? You see, the problem lies in our world today that there is people that are afraid and cowardice instead of people that are courageous and fearless. And we, as God's people, need to be fearless. We need to stand strong. This is the truth. I'm going to stand on it. This is the truth. This is where I'm going to live. This is the truth. This is what I'm going to teach. I'm going to be fearless about it. You don't have to be ashamed. The scripture says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So we know the truth, and the truth is what sets us free. The truth is what sets us apart. So the truth sets us apart from the cults. The truth sets us apart from false religion. The truth sets us apart from false teachers and false prophets. And so we have the truth. And if we have the truth, we can be fearless. If we have the truth, we can stand up for what's right. John gives us some encouragement here. He gives us a little encouragement about being fearless. Number one, relationship. Relationship. He says this, ye are of God. We are of God. So praise the Lord. If we are of God, then we can stand strong. Why? Because God is on our side. We are preaching and we are teaching. Thus saith the Lord. So we can be confident because God is always right. You know, God, there's no error in God. God cannot lie. So there's no error in God. So we can be confident because we are children of God. Just as fathers protect their children, God will protect us and he will watch over us. We have that relationship. Number two, we see result, and have overcome them. That's the result. We have victory in Jesus Christ. We are overcomers. We are overcomers, not because we're wonderful people. We're overcomers because he has overcome. That's why we're overcomers. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it. So listen, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Okay, so we are victors. John 16, verse 33, in the world you shall have tribulation. But Jesus says, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. We have the victory, the results. What are the results? The results are we are on the winning side. That's the results. The results are, read the back of the book, we win. And so we see relationship. You're of God. We are children of God. If you're saved and know Christ is your Savior, then we are children of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What are the results? The results are we are overcomers. The results are it's already been won. Not because of your winsome personality. Not because you're a great guy or a great gal. We have overcome because he overcame. We have victory because of Jesus Christ. We overcome the spirit of error in the power of Jesus Christ. So that error comes. Remember, you have a relationship. Remember, the results are already in the books. We overcome the spirit of error because of the power of Jesus Christ. And then relationship results, and then reason. Reason. How do we overcome? Here it is. You ready? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he in you that is truth than he that is in the world, which is error. We have a divine disinfectant against heresy and against error. John 16, 13, when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So not only do we have God's word, which is truth. But as Christians, as born-again believers, we have the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. He lives inside of us to do many works, but one of the works that he does is he guides us into truth. This is truth. And so the Spirit of God guides us into truth. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but if you maybe you're listening to a sermon, maybe on the radio, or maybe you were traveling somewhere and you went to a church you'd never been to, and you were listening to this preacher, or maybe a visiting preacher while you were away, you're listening to, and all of a sudden he starts saying something, and this little antenna goes up, and you think to yourself, wait a minute, what he's saying, something's wrong with what he's saying. You ever done that? Maybe you can't put your finger on it, but boy, years ago you read something, or years ago a preacher that you trusted said something, and boy, something this guy is saying isn't meshing, and you don't quite know. Let me tell you what that is. That's the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, and he's trying to guide you. So what do you need to do? You need to go back to the Scriptures. You need to allow the Spirit to guide you into the Word of God to find out, is what he's saying so? Is what she's saying so? People get so agitated when you call out somebody that's a false preacher or a false teacher. But let me tell you something. We've got to mark them, church. We've got to let other people know that what they're saying is not true. Not because they're a different denomination, or they're using a different version, or because they're, you know, they live in a different part of the world. None of those things have anything to do with it. What they're saying is contrary to the Word of God. We need to mark them and say, stand up and say, that's wrong. That's error. You know, we do it in every other area, but for some reason, we have this in our mind that we should not do that to people that are trying to do good. Let me tell you something. A lot of these jokers aren't trying to do good. A lot of them, all they're trying to do is line their pockets with money or filthy lucre's sake. And I want you to know, we need to be able to mark them and say, listen, they are in error. And if they're in error in one doctrine, I promise you they're in error in other doctrines as well. And as a Christian, whether you're a teacher or a preacher, or you're just a church member in a pew, it ought to be our desire to be in truth. So if I'm wrong, I want to correct that. I don't want to remain wrong. If 2 + 2 doesn't equal 5, I want somebody to tell me that it equals 4. I don't want to continue to be wrong. Now, I want you to show me where 2 + 2 = 4. I don't want it just to be your opinion. I want you to show me from the Word of God, because I want you to know there are people out there who will disagree with you, and they'll generally use this terminology. Well, my Bible says. Listen to me. We have the same Bible. Okay? So if you have the Word of God, if you have the truth, we have the same Bible. My Bible. There's no my Bible. Now, what they mean is my opinion. No. I need you to show me from the Word of God. Show me what the Bible says. And if I'm in error, I want to change. Because I don't want to be wrong. I want to know the truth, because it's the truth that sets you free. And we need to be free, because we are free in Jesus Christ. As overcomers, let us battle against error and false doctrines with the sword that God has given us. God has given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If it's error, don't be afraid. Be fearless. Stand up and say, no, that's wrong. No, they shouldn't be doing that. You know, it's unbelievable to me how we have cowered to the things of this world. How many churches today stand up and say, let me tell you something, men ought to be able to marry men, and women ought to be able to marry women. when that's clearly contrary to the Word of God? Because we're afraid. We're afraid to be offensive. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't be afraid of being offensive. Now, you know, I'll beat people over the head with the Bible. But you ought to be able to stand up with confidence, with the truth, and say, this is right and this is wrong. This you shouldn't be doing. This you should be doing. Because we know that there are sins of omission and there are sins of commission as well. There are things that you should be doing that you're not. That's a sin. There's things that you shouldn't be doing that you are. That's a sin. And so we need to stand up with the truth. Be not ashamed. Be not afraid. Stand for the things of God. Heavenly Father, we love you and we do thank you that there is truth. And that we hold that truth in our hands. And I pray that you'd help us each day to read your word, to know your word, to stand for your word, and to mark error, to know that it's error, that it's false doctrine, that it's false preaching, that it's false teaching. Help us to understand and know these false teachers and false preachers, to be able to avoid them, to be able to stay away from them, and to help fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to help our families, to help our children, to help the next generation, not to be trapped under the error that is so prevalent in our world today. Help us to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me give you a couple prayer requests real quick tonight. And want to let you know, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, we will be having our services here at the church. And we are going to be starting Wednesday night up pretty soon. I still don't have a date on that, but I will give you that date as soon as I can when we're going to be meeting back in the church. There's just all sorts of things going on right now. And so just as soon as I know, I'll be sure to let you know about that. We will be having, I don't know when it's going to be yet, end of July-ish, beginning of August sometime. We really want to have a back-to-school kind of bash thing for our church kids. So if you are a member of Rinkin Baptist Temple and you have children, we'll be calling you directly to let you know that date, just to get together for the kids, just to get them here at the church, and are going to have some teaching and some games and some goodies and all sorts of things for that. So we'll be keeping you aware of that as well. Be in prayer for Miss Thigpen. She has been in the hospital. Remember her to the Lord in prayer. Continue to remember Brother Forrest's mom, Tracy. She is doing much better, so thank you for your prayers for her. And then also Brother Forrest's grandma, as she continues to recover from her surgery that she has had. Pray for Larry Holloway. He goes in for a test on his leg. So if you would, remember Brother Larry to the Lord in prayer. And then remember the Richters to the Lord in prayer. Pray for Miss Bernie. She needs your prayer. She is in constant issues with her health. And so remember her to the Lord in prayer as well. Do remember Brother Randy, Randy Smoke. If you were in church Sunday, he sang and he just is having a hard time getting around at all. So pray for him with his hip, and he needs to have surgery. So remember him to the Lord in prayer as well. And then for Springfield Manor, I believe it is, the top two floors of Springfield Manor burnt. And a lot of people lost a lot of things. Daniel, that is Mike Reese's son, he lost everything in that fire. So if you would just remember Daniel and those that lost everything in that fire there over in Springfield. And then pray for Miss Faye. She's having a CT lumbar test in the morning at St. Joseph's. So remember Miss Faye to the Lord in prayer as well. So lots of things to pray for. I know there are several reports of spikes with COVID and all that's going on with there. So just continue to pray about that. Pray for the political atmosphere of the United States of America. I mean, it is in turmoil and worse than it's ever been. And so just remember the political aspect of things that are going on in our world today. I know We just need to pray for our country as a whole. First responders, police especially, let's continue to remember them, lift them up to the Lord in prayer, and our nurses and doctors and all those that are working on people as well. Let's continue to remember them to the Lord in prayer. Our military, of course, let's remember them. Remember Scott Schumann and his family, his daughter Ashton, her husband Zach was in a water accident in the water, and he drowned. Just 28 years old, and Scott and Tammy are having to fly out there and to be with Ashton. And so just pray for that family. Pray for Ashton. That's Scott's daughter. And then, of course, Scott and Tammy as they're flying. And just remember them to the Lord in prayer. Just a tragic event. So if you would keep them lifted up to the Lord in prayer as well. Again, good to see you. Good to be with you for our midweek. And look forward to seeing you 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Listen, if you're having any symptoms, if you're not feeling well, if you're immune compromised, if you don't feel comfortable, then go ahead and stay home because we are live streaming it. But if you feel comfortable, we are social distancing. We have a hand washing station doing everything that we can to be careful. So we'd love to see you. 10 o'clock Sunday morning. God bless you.